This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9. Bent Notes is our weekly jazz program going to air each Sunday night.
My special guest on Bent Notes is a musician, a composer, an arranger, a music producer, a sound recording engineer, a sound recording studio owner, a nice little boutique studio called Pug House Studios here in Melbourne. But tonight, it's my pleasure to welcome to the Bent Notes studio as the drummer in a new quartet called Quattro Club. Welcome back to the Bent Notes studio, Nico Shoblay.
Great to be back. Thank you, Dave.
It's been a little while since you were here. In fact, I think the last time you were here, it was Nico Shoblay's Bent Notes for the night.
I think it was, yes. You very kindly did a special on the 5 years of Pug House Studios.
We did. That
yes.
was great fun.
It was indeed.
I might have to get you back sometime, though, Nico.
I'd love to. Yes, lots of things been going on. Yes.
Exactly. There's been other time go by, and I assume the studio doesn't sit there empty.
No. I mean it, no. And other people too.
As I can tell from fairly regular posts on Facebook of varying musos in the Pug House Studios recording new albums and all sorts of things like that.
Yes, I just played one before. Dr. Krask was a couple of months ago. But, yes, always something going on. Lots of new albums and projects.
We will catch up very soon on that one, Nico. Now, you are described as a contemporary improvising musician. What's the difference between a contemporary improvising musician and a non-contemporary improvising musician?
Well, I think contemporary means I'm alive.
Oh, well, that's good, yes. That's excellent.
No, it's a funny term. I think, I don't know, did I write that? This probably
no,
from
no,
my
I,
bio.
I wrote this one.
Sorry. Well, I mean, improvisation has been around for a long time in a way, but it's mostly referred to in jazz. But I think contemporary, it might sort of more infer more over the last, 10, 20, 30 years or so, more freer, like actually improvising, as we will do to a degree in Quattro Club, and I've done in other bands as well, where it's not an improvisation within a very strict framework. So, you have a song with a chord structure, and then there's a melody and someone singing, and then there's a horn solo or someone soloing, and then we play the head again, which is sort of very standard sort of procedure. But it's often improvising in contemporary, I would think, is more, you might improvise even a whole song or a whole arrangement.
Potentially you could walk into a studio or a club and everyone could hear a brand new composition being improvised on the run.
Yes, you could, which makes it hard to say what it's going to sound like.
It does indeed. Have you noticed a change yourself in the appreciation of improvisation by members of the public and the audience over your years in the industry?
I think it's always been sort of a fairly small section of the jazz community, maybe because you can't really be sure what you're going to get, so you got to put yourself out to a bit of risk. I think I've had quite a lot of discussions with people, and you talk about all the availability of music, and instantly you press a button you can get anything, and and the convenience of any situation you're in. But I think that on the other side, went to hear someone do something there and then, something new, then you have to go out and see a concert. And I think that's very exciting. And so maybe people will start looking out more for things where it's unpredictable, because predictable, you can have it home without having to leave the comfort of your own house.
If it's predictable, you might as well just go and pull a CD off the record collection and
yes.
put it on.
I mean, nothing wrong with that,
There's not. It could be the Frank Sinatra album at the back of the record collection that's been there for years.
Wonderful albums to be had,
I think I need to acknowledge Daryl and Ozzy 1975, their album, because I think that was a joke off there, but I don't tell it as well as them. Now, have you noticed a change in the approach to improvisation by musicians over your years in the industry?
I think it's a very individual approach. I don't think you sort of can generalize it. There'll be some people who will go all out, and some people will stay more within the confines of a concept. And it's very much as a group Is this something which is, again, driven by individuals? So do you try to, that's what we've been doing with the Quattro Club, you try to work out where are, you know, are there boundaries? Where can you go with it? Where is it comfortable? And you don't want it always to be comfortable, but you don't want it to go so far out that you might, you know, the whole concept in itself will fall apart. So this is all things to work out. I think it's a very individual approach, which, again, makes it sort of a wonderful art form because it's very personal.
Is there a challenge for you as a musician in finding other musicians to put together into a group and have the same sensibility about what you want to improvise with and how you want to do it?
Not really. I think that the challenge is more finding people that you, well, that you don't know. It sounds stupid. I'm thinking, for example, for this album, for this project, I've been playing with Mirko in, you know, for quite a few years.
We had you in here for Aquakita when it was launched.
Yes, and yes. We've played with Torrio, with Paul Grabowski in the trio. We're involved in a band together, which is called the Melbourne Jazz Cooperative Collective, which also has a concert in October coming up. I just played with Mirko in a new group called the Horizontal Ensemble, I think. So I immediately thought of him. Then I thought, what instruments would I like? And Dan Gordon. I spoke to Mirko and said, could you recommend someone I'm looking for? Also someone, a clarinet player. And of course, I know a couple of clarinet players. But he suggested Joel, who I didn't know before. And he's a wonderful young player. So I think people will hear a lot more of him.
When you're approaching someone to join a new ensemble, in this case they've been recommended, how do you tell him what it is that you're looking for? Is it a case of just saying, I'm looking for someone who can play like this, or is it playing something, some music that says this is sort of where we're headed?
I think it's like it's really sort of trying to get someone to you know, to get together and to play and maybe send a few tracks. So I had a very loose, I think I had a few compositions, but I can't remember if I even sent any music. I sort of vaguely described it, you know, improvisation, the other people that would be in it, would they be interested, and we find time to get together and then just play. And then you find out, you know, if people see if they like it or not.
What do you think of the perspective, I was doing some reading yesterday, that compositions are architecture and improvisation is organised chaos? I heard that description. I thought I need to ask someone about it.
Yeah, I would not support that notion. Composition being architecture, yeah, you know, that's a very sort of easy simile to make. But the organised chaos, I think it's not understanding what things are, you know, what music is about or what improvisation is about. Like, it's not supposed to be chaotic. I mean, it might sometimes be, you know, like, not, things don't always turn out, so, you know, that 100% perfect. But it is not a chaos. It might be very complex, maybe because of the musical, the underlying musical concept, or because maybe many people doing something simultaneously. But it is not easy to do because you want to avoid the chaos. So you do play together. It is hard. When I do workshops with people, with musicians, and say, you know, let's all improvise together. Yes, at first it can become a chaos. But what everything depends on is the listening. You listen. You respond to what someone is doing, and if you find nothing, maybe you put a new, you know, put something forward, a new musical idea, a phrase, a melody, whatever it might be, and someone else will listen, and then the response might be you go with it, or you might do something very contrasting. So it's always that response, but the listening is the first part. So if you're not listening well, if you're not a good listener, you can't be a good player.
It's the listening by the musicians themselves to listen to those about them.
Yes.
And then, as you say, to be able to build up from there and lean on what other people have done and use them as stepping stones to your next amazing little segment of improvisation.
Or you might not even seek to be, you know, like, I don't think people seek to be amazing. I think sometimes it's, you know, it's important that you step forward and someone might lead it. You might only be for 10 seconds. But sometimes, you know, I mean, as a drummer, I'm not sure if it comes more natural, but you think to accompany someone, to support someone, to do something where they can sort of float on top or sit on or, you know, jump on top of. That is a wonderful thing. And then if it works, this is all it needs. You don't need to be amazing all the time. I mean, I am, but
exactly.
No.
Being an accompanist, though, is a whole a whole other discussion, isn't it? Because there's so much to being an accompanist that a lead artist is not.
Well, it is very hard to do, and it is very hard to do. Like I couldn't be an accompanist all the time. I would feel that probably sort of restrictive. And you know, there are situations where it's clear that's you set out to do, and you might have a little solo. That's fine. But in my own projects, where there's more freedom, I think I'd like to be both, and I'd like and expect from everyone in the ensemble to be that. So it's easy to be an accompanist, to step back and say, okay, I'm doing something simple, and I'm supporting you, in inverted commas, or because then you will support me. It's a give and take.
A give and take both ways, to be able to share the thoughts, the creation, the creativity of the mind.
Yes. And then sometimes, sometimes someone might play something. I think, I don't need to do anything because this is just beautiful. It doesn't need me to make, bling, bling, on top of that.
Talking about creativity, I think one of your early bands was called Tibetan Dixie.
Yes.
Is that about right? What was Tibetan Dixie all about?
That was, this is going back to the late 1980s, and that was born out of a concept where I wanted to free myself of my music from sort of chordal or harmonic constraints. I was looking really to work with melodic material mainly, and I was playing the original band with three horn players and a bass myself, so almost a bit traditional, but no chordal instrument. The players I had played with, they were musicians, where they were saxophone players, woodwind players that I had played with for 10 years, and I knew them very well. They were all individually so different from each other, so they were not a saxophone or a woodwind section at all. The ideas, the compositions, going back to the architecture, they were very, well, I wouldn't say rudimentary, but very clear, and left a lot of space to explore, to go along with it, and slow developments. And this is sort of, I think, a theme that sort of goes through my own compositions, my own bands, Tibetan Dixie, then there's a project Papa Carlo, which then culminated in a band called an album called Night Music, and now Quattro Club.
Let's have a listen to some of the Tibetan Dixie music, which is a precursor to what's happening with Quattro Club.
Neither Tibetan nor Dixieland. Just in case people want to, it's not Dixieland. Don't need to switch off.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Find more Joycasts and show blogs, go to joy.org.au.
We were having a little bit of a chat there while you were listening to that, actually. We were being very rude and talking over the top of it, but we were having a chat about how it's music from the band Tibetan Dixie, Nico, from Germany back in 1989, which, when you moved to Australia, you had then an Australian version as well.
Yes. The Australian version was a larger one. It started off with, I think, 10 people, 12 people. And we did record here in 1990, first album. And this track and a couple of others that had been recorded in Berlin 89 were on that. I put them on the CD as well. And then we played in at the Wangaratta Jazz Festival. The festival commissioned me to write a suite. It was a one-hour piece called Yait Matheng with guest soloist Arthur Blythe from New York, who has sadly passed away a few years ago. And then, yes, the band kept playing, and then it became various different incarnations of it, with similar with three horns and bass, or sometimes with two guitars, and sometimes with a guitar and a bass. And so it's a very flexible concept. And this song, Henry, I should mention, it was about a chook that died. So if you think back to the music, maybe it's sad.
It did have a tempo and a sense of foreboding, I think.
Yeah, it could, yeah.
It's sort of after the event. But
we should listen to it again and sort of analyse it. Yes.
Okay, Corey, please. Well, now that would be an interesting exercise, to play something and actually talk about it as it's going and analyse what goes on. That could be rather interesting.
A commentary. Yeah.
I must think about that. Mm. But not tonight, Nico, right. Because you're here to talk about what's happening up in Wangaratta with Quattro Club, which in a sense is another variation on Tibetan Dixie.
Well, yes, I guess in a way, because it won't be all my compositions. There are some works also by Joel and Mirko.
Now, let's get the names complete, I think, before we go any yes, further, so we know exactly who we're talking about.
So it's Mirko Guerini on woodwinds, saxophones, yep, and flutes, Joel Hans Otte on clarinets, and Dan Gordon on the tuba.
Tuba, and yourself, of course, on
myself
drums.
On the
so there's no instruments in that group that, like a piano or a keyboard, that can actually play a complete chord at any one time.
That's right, yes.
Or guitar even.
No, yes.
Why?
So I don't like them. No. No, I love them. But it is, I think it's a bit to do with the way that I think about music, and maybe also, like, when I learn a song, like, you know, chords and things like that, and there are important to learn. But if I learn a song to play along with, if it's hard to learn, I definitely will always learn the melody first, you know. So for me, maybe also as a drummer, maybe there's sort of a voice or a melody and a drums, that's sort of the first thing. I always think harmonies is sort of a second, they make things nicer and fuller, but music that is only based on harmony and maybe has no melody, I find that not as interesting. So I just try to sort of pare it down. And of course, when they all play together, a harmony will emerge. And for example, in Henry, there were sort of, it seemed like, well, there was a harmonic accompaniment. There were certain settings, you know, were given, but every time we played, the harmony would be different. So a challenge then, for example, was to write a melody that would fit over any sort of harmony that might emerge.
Yes, that would be a challenge indeed.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
It would be a bit frustrating, I would think.
No. No? No. No, no.
To write a melody that would hopefully fit over everything?
No, I think that's frustration, which doesn't, you know, work, but I love that approach, and that's something I think that links the Quattro Club to...
Back to Tibetan Dixie.
To Tibetan Dixie, yeah. Yes.
Because Tibetan Dixie didn't have any chordal instruments?
Oh, no, it did have a guitar. Steve Magnusson,
okay,
was in it, yes. He also played the banjo, made him play the banjo.
Oh,
he's
right.
He's not forgiven me, yes.
Oh, really? I'll have to make a note, and if I can get him into the studio sometime, just ask him how his banjo skills are.
Yeah, please do.
Now, you describe Quattro Club as an improvising chamber music ensemble. Chamber music, in my mind, conjures up an image of a string quartet, a classical string quartet.
Yeah. Well, I think what I mean there is that it's not amplified. Like, there's no electric instruments. I mean, obviously in Wangaratta there will be, you know, because it's a larger room, so there will be amplification of the whole band. But essentially, that's what we play to the dynamic of the instruments. So I don't play the drums very loud, or at least not for extended periods of time, because I can't hear the others then.
So it's a nice way to play. From an audience perspective, to be able to just hear the acoustic instruments without the significant reinforcement.
Yes, I think so. And it's lovely. It's very nice to play like that yourself, because the instruments generally sound richer and more beautiful when they're not played at full.
volume.
Yep. Mm. So that's going to be a very nice gig to listen to. It's in the Wangaratta Performing Arts Centre Theatre. You're there at 11 till 12 on Saturday.
That's right, yes.
That will actually, I think I'm your MC. I think David. I might be. I better go back and check on that one.
But okay.
I think I'm doing that. I better make some extra notes here to make sure I introduce you properly. I do have to smile when I see your promo picture of Quattro Club. It's the four of you sitting around the table. Mm. You're playing with what appears to be Lego. Now, is this an artistic comment on the manner in which you put your work together?
Yeah, I think you could take it like that. I mean, yeah. We tried to do some more normal sort of promo shots, but, you know, predictably, especially me, I look like some dorky person. I get, you know. So I thought, well, let's do it. And then this was at Mirko's home, and his children, you know, were playing Lego, and it was all sort of lying around. So let's just sit around there. And it does, it gives the compositions, again, the architecture, it's more like there are certain building blocks, but the way they're put together is not necessarily pre-configured. So people can choose themselves which, you know, blocks or which colour, or, you know, to stay with a Lego simile. Yep. And then hopefully it'll become a very interesting building in the end.
I'm sure it will be indeed.
No flammable cladding will be used.
I'm pleased to hear that indeed. So we've got an hour of Quattro Club at the festival in the theatre. Beautiful location to listen to the music.
Oh, that's
what
fantastic.
Do you think we're going to hear?
Not sure yet. It might be one larger suite. There's one piece that I've been working on. Yeah, it might be a whole 1 hour suite, which sort of might also link back to the 25 years ago with Yatma thing. Not sure yet. But if people who can't make it to Wangaratta for one reason or another, we are playing a pre view gig.
A bit of a warm-up
at the Jazz Lab, which will be actually our very first gig. Sunday the 21st of October at the Jazz Lab, courtesy of the Melbourne Jazz Cooperative.
Oh, excellent. That would be worth getting to see as well.
Yes. So I haven't really properly answered what you were hearing, because I don't know.
But that's part of improvisation, I think, isn't it?
That's right, yes.
It will be improvised with a few ideas in the background by the time we get there.
Oh, there are definitely a lot of ideas, but how it's all going to be put together, it will be beautiful because, I mean, the musicians, they are unbelievable, the sounds they can make, and they're just gorgeous musicians to listen to, and it will have energetic moments, but this is not, maybe I'll say, this is not free jazz, so it might even have grooves at times, and, you know, it might even swing, it might, you know, might do lots of things.
There is a construct there,
yes.
Nico, thank you so much for dropping in.
My pleasure.
Want to hear a bit more of your music, and you've brought in some new night music.
Yes, this is a bit of a sneak preview. A trio was called Papa Carlo with Steve Maxson, Chris Becker, and myself. And 25 years ago, we made a record with Italian trumpet player Enrico Rava. We played with him in 2014 at the Wangaratta Festival as well. We're in the process of making a new album because, you know, 25 years' time, you know, seems timely. And this is without Enrico, yes. So this is, no one's heard that except for Enrico, Steve, Chris, and myself. And now the
premiere performance.
World.
Thank you so much for sharing the premiere performance with us of New Night Music, Nico. And thank you very much for dropping here into the Bent Note studio tonight, talking about Quattro Club and improvisation. Thank you.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.